According to defamation laws, repetition of a libel simply when covering it is just as serious as defamation in the first place. Much of the coverage, therefore, of the G20 bubbles incident could be seen as libel within the news, according to one of Toronto Star's legal representatives, Ryder Gilliland.
Could one argue, potentially, that because this person who put up the footage or created the footage has his own account with YouTube, that he is in fact the one who's responsible for publishing and not YouTube because it is his own profile?
He would also be responsible. The way it's worked historically and still works largely with respect to the internet is that everybody involved in a publication has potential liability. And what our law in Canada does is it recognizes the fact that, for example, here, YouTube doesn't know everything that's being posted at any moment, so they aren't liable until they've been put on notice and have not done something about it. So here, if they're put on notice and they remove it, then they can avoid liability by relying on the citizen dissemination defense. That type of defense isn't available to the person who posted it.
How long do they have to respond to take something down?
That's a good question. There's not a fixed answer, but you'd expect they'd have to do it pretty much right away. Mm-hmm.
This post has been up for 18 hours, and it's on the actual footage. I know I couldn't find the animated, but this one says, "I wonder if Officer Bubbles has any children. Can you imagine if his own 4-year-old kid blew bubbles in his face? Officer Bubbles would probably pin the poor child against the wall, pull her arm up painfully, and yell for his wife to call 911 for backup." One would think that
it could be that they're not aware of that particular posting. In fact, I'd say it's probably likely that they're not aware of that posting. And until they're put on notice, they would have an innocent dissemination defense available to them. Assuming, of course, that it's defamatory as well. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that this is defamatory?
I'd say it's potentially defamatory. I think, and there's not a lot of law yet on what is or isn't defamatory in this kind of a context, which is people posting things on a board beneath a video. There's certainly law in other jurisdictions that basically lowers the threshold of what you would consider defamatory on the basis that people generally don't take these sorts of things seriously.
This particular post is listed as one of the most popular comments. They're organized categorically by how many people have liked it potentially. So this list has been, it was published by YouTube and by the commenter, obviously. However, it made the top of this list and published in such a way because so many people clicked I like. Are they potentially involved in charges for defamatory action because they have raised it so high up?
There's no legal answer to that question yet. I suspect the answer is no, because they're not really publishing. They're really just pressing a button saying that they enjoyed something. But it's an interesting question that I suppose the courts will one day have to consider.
Why do you suppose it hasn't been considered yet?
Because the law tends to drag significantly behind technology. So, even though we've had the internet for well over a decade, we're only in the last few years really starting to see the emergence of a body of law dealing with internet type issues.
You've previously mentioned, not today, however, you've previously mentioned that most judges, when regarding defamatory actions, lawsuits online, they consider the internet to be big and evil, completely evil.
Yeah, I mean, there's a one judgment in particular, which is Barrick Gold versus Lopehandia is the name of the case, and it's a court of appeal judgment where the court of appeal didn't use the word evil, but did say that the potential for harm when you're publishing on the internet is elevated because of its immediacy. They also identified the anonymity on the internet as something that would potentially increase the harm. And of course, its scope.
So accessibility is key.
Accessibility in every sense, both the scope of the publication and how immediate it is.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the line between satire and just simply defamatory comments, where is the line?
It's going to be a a question that'll be answered on the facts of any given case. And of course, context is important too, and that's where you come back to, you know, some of these cases that have looked at comments on bulletin boards, and they say, well, this is hyperbolic stuff. It's not really, you know, nobody would take this seriously. I mean, that's really the question ultimately you're asking is, if people wouldn't take what you're saying seriously,
could the animation be seen more easily as satire simply because it is an animation?
I think yes is the short answer. It will more likely be seen as satire, although I'm not sure that would be the primary defense there. I think the primary defense with respect to caricatures would be a fair comment type defense, because they're the pictures. And I haven't seen them, but presumably there are some sort of factual points which will share some basis in reality. I mean, they're going to have a picture of an officer in uniform and perhaps protests around, like, all things that actually did happen, but then some other you know, commentary, social commentary premised on that.
Because he needs grounds for this to argue that this is defaming him or somehow hurting his career, how could he potentially argue that?
He doesn't have to prove any particular loss of his own or anything like that. He just has to prove that these are comments that would, by ordinary people, be perceived to cause harm to his reputation.
Could YouTube use the defense based on the public's interest?
The public interest component would be a big part of a fair comment defense. It's one of the elements that you have to show to make out a fair comment defense, is that what you're commenting on is in the public interest. And I don't think... it's pretty obvious that comments about G20 and police conduct during G20 is a matter of public interest, so I think they'd have no trouble at all meeting that element of the fair comment defense. Mm.
Did you find the videos funny?
I haven't seen the videos. So,
okay.
I've read the claims. I've read some descriptions of them, but they're not very funny when they're reduced to a statement of claim.
Believe it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.